I get so distracted. But kids, I am glad you're with us this morning because I think you can help me out here a little bit. I actually decided I'm going to add one more song, but you don't want to hear me sing it super loud here. So I'm going to ask you just to help me. We're just going to do like the last verse of just because it's one of those really long Christmas songs. So we're just going to start at the very end of it here. So sing with me because you know it. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. There we go. All right. About 5 golden rings everybody was in. That was great. I could tell everybody was excited. Like, I was going to do, like, a big dramatic pause before we got there, and everybody was like, no, I know this part. And, like, I can never remember. Is it 11 lords a-leaping? Or how many ladies dancing? I can't. Again, kids, I'm glad you're with me here this morning because you know presents better than anyone. But I got to ask, when you were making your Christmas list, kids, did any of you include 2 turtle doves on your Christmas list? Is that something you asked Santa for? Kim did. Okay. I suppose there's the possibility that somebody was hoping for 3 French hens. I don't know, maybe 5 golden rings. That might be a possibility if you like a little bling. But those aren't some of those gifts you're like scratching your head. Like, maybe some of us don't even know, what is a turtle dove? Is that like a little reptile with wings like in Mario Brothers, or I'm not sure. But it's interesting because these are gifts that come from who? Who is the giver of the gifts in this song? True love. My true love gave to me. And you would think a true love would be able to do better. What am I going to do with 11 pipers piping? I've got 1 drummer at home already. I don't need any extras. I mean, we love one of them, but I don't know what I would do with those extra 10. What might be some better gifts? Like, if you were asking for gifts, you needed 11 of something, what would you want 11 of? Socks. Did you say, somebody say trains? Nice. See, trains. It was an adult that said socks, wasn't it? Ben, what do you think? 11 chocolates. 11 chocolates melting, because that's what they would do if you had 11 chocolates. Yeah. Any other? Like, what might be another? Did you say diesel? Gallons of diesel? 11 gallons of diesel. That is I'm not sure anybody can afford that right now. True love. And love is our theme this morning. Can any of you think of like a verse, maybe one that we even heard this morning, that talks about God loving people? What was that one that we just heard read? For God, what? For God loved the world, there we go. Right there. For God loved the world in this way, or so loved the world as we maybe are more used to reading it. He gave his one and only son that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's the true love. It sounds like God may be the true love. And what's interesting is I did some research on the 12 days of Christmas and found out God is the true love in that song. God is the one they're writing about. They were saying, on the first day of Christmas, my true love, God gave me this gift. But then we get all these very strange things listed out in here. But has God, has God given any of you 3 French hens? Or 6 geese a-laying? No? Yeah, me neither. 10 lords a-leaping? That would be a strange gift for God to give you, But what's cool, and this is going to be great stuff, like, how everybody loves a know-it-all? You guys are about to become know-it-alls, and so you can impress all your friends with some of these details. Each of those items is actually a clue. It was written to help us remember something important about what God has given us. It's a symbol. Just, for example, 10 lords a-leaping. Let's just start with that one. Can anybody think of something in the Bible that has the number 10 included in it? Ten Commandments. That's right. It's supposed to remind us, Ten Lords of Leaping is supposed to remind us about the Ten Commandments. Okay, six geese a-laying. This one's a little bit trickier. Can anybody think of something that took 6 days that might have involved the production of something? Creation. That's absolutely right. The 6 days of creation is the six geese a-laying. Five golden rings. Can anybody think of something? This is one of, at least our, I know our Bible scholars ought to know this, something important about the number five in Scripture. Yeah. Well, no, not the Septuagint, but I think I know what you're... The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, but I know what you meant. You meant the Pentateuch. But you're getting fancy. Another way to say it is just the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There are five golden rings. There are these things that are super important in Scripture, and the whole song was meant to help kids and adults remember really important ideas from the whole Bible. Now, it's kind of funny that in 2023 we remember the song, but we forgot what it's actually attached to. So the reminder worked, sort of. But the most important part is the part we sing every verse, which is on the fill-in-the-blank day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. See, there's something about Christmas that connects the dots. See, because we're talking about, what is it about Christmas that makes the five golden rings extra special? What is it about Christmas that makes the Ten Commandments special? There's something about Christmas in here that ties creation, the commandments, and everything else together as a gift from the one who truly loves us. And we get that on the first day of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Any guesses? Okay, what did you say, Levi? Tree of good and evil? No? You're right, Jack. What did you say, Brian? Now, it's not Christ in the manger, because but the partridge is Jesus. But where is the partridge? It's in the tree. And a partridges are known, mama partridges especially, are known for laying down their lives for their babies. And so the partridge in a pear tree is this picture of Jesus. And so from the first day of Christmas, because it was meant to mark out the days between Christmas and the 12th day, which was the day when they would remember, in the early church, they would remember that the wise men came. That was kind of that 12-day period. And so that first day is the day that Jesus was born. And that was the first day of Christmas. That's what God gave us, was Jesus in this place. And we just talked about how did Jesus show his love. He gave his life. Not because we were perfect and we deserved it, but because he knows and loves us perfectly and wants us to know and love him in return so that we can have joy. And that is a pretty amazing gift from our true love. You know, the challenge for me, and maybe for you sometimes, is sometimes I don't feel very lovable. Sometimes I don't act very lovable. We wonder if God can love us just the way we are. You know, we worry about the things we've done that make God upset. You know, can he love us even then? Today I want to share just a few ideas on how we can experience the love of God in the way that God intended for us to do so. What does it take to receive this gift from our true love? Well, what do you have to do with any other gift? What's the first thing you do with a gift on Christmas? You unwrap it. Got it here, that's right. I'm so glad you guys are here to help. Yeah, the first thing we have to do if we're going to experience the gift of love, the gift of God's love, is we have to open the gift. We have to open it up. Yeah, you can't play with Legos that are still in the box behind a layer of wrapping paper. You might shake it and know that there's Legos in there, right? There's no like other kind of sound when you shake a box that mimics the sound of Legos. You know this is a foot injury waiting to happen right in there when you shake a box of Legos. But you never know if it's a jet, if it's a car, ninjas, you don't know. It's some kind of Legos until you open the box. You know, opening the gift means you're saying yes to the person who gave it. Yes, I want to receive what you are offering me. But when God gives us a gift, sometimes we're tempted to leave it in the wrapping because we know when God gives us a gift, it might change us. It might ask something of us. It will definitely challenge us. This is one of the reasons I love reading Mary's story. When she's given a gift here in the Christmas story, Luke 1, 26 through 33, says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" That's a big gift with a lot of attached challenges. That's not just the difficulty of having to put together the Lego set or having to assemble the model car. There's a lot of challenges attached to that gift, and I don't think I stop enough and just consider how challenging this must have been for Mary and the level of faith that Mary had, the amount of trust in who God is and his character. I mean, no pressure. You've just got to carry the Son of God for 9 months. Oh, and then just go through that little thing of raising him. Like, you think about in parenting, like, one of our biggest accomplishments is we figure if we can just get them alive and out the door, we've done a pretty good job. Like, we've made it. Mary's got the Son of God to contend with. That's a responsibility, no pressure there. But listen to her response to this angel. She says, "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." Mary trusted God. I don't think she thought it would be easy. I'm sure she was scared, but she trusted and she unwrapped the gift. She took what God was offering to her. And our question when it comes to all God wants to give us, especially life in Christ, is will we say yes? Will we say yes to what he wants to offer us? One of the best parts about saying yes to this gift is that when we do, there is so much of it that we can't keep all of God's life for ourselves. We actually experience the love even more by sharing that gift. Anybody ever get a Christmas gift so great you wanted to take it to school when you went back in January? Anybody else besides me? Yeah? Yeah, I remember I got a Transformer. It was one of the Insecticons. It was really cool. It turned into a bug. And I was so desperate to take that to school, but my mom, who was smarter than me, wouldn't let me because she knew that if I took a toy to school, it would very, very likely stay there or end up going home with someone else because she knew me. When Mary first found out that she was going to have this baby, the first thing she does is goes and shares with her cousin Elizabeth, which we talked about a week or so ago. When the baby was born, she shared the moment with shepherds. Sometime later, a bunch of strangers from a far-off country show up, a bunch of wise men, and she shares her son with them. You know, Paul writes to us about how this gift of Jesus is supposed to lead us to live here. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross." And that's a great, I don't think we often come to Philippians to look for our Christmas verses, but that's a great summary of Christmas right there, is that God emptied himself and came and then gave of himself, you know, humble, thinking of others, not grabbing power or strength or advantage, but giving it away. And our invitation, when we receive the gift of God, when we learn to be loved by God, is to return and pour that out. Not to simply hold on to it for ourselves, but to empty ourselves the same way and find that there's always more to give. You know, if Christmas is God introducing himself to us, which is kind of the what we've been looking at here, showing us in person what he is like and how he made us to be, then we see how great we are loved. That we get to both receive the gift, we get to give it away, and yet we never have anything less. You know, can you imagine, you know, if anybody else love those Danish butter cookies? You know, the ones that come in the sewing kits? You know what I'm, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That was the way it always was at my grandma's house. We get the little tins, the little round tins, and after the cookies were gone, that became where she put all of her needles and thread and everything else. But if you had one of those packages of Danish butter cookies with the sugar all over them and everything, if you could open that up and start giving out cookies, but every time you handed out one of the cookies, like another cookie just replaced it, I mean, that would not be good for my diet. Well, actually, it wouldn't be good for your diet, because I just keep giving them away, right? I mean, if every time you gave something away, if there was just more of it, that is the picture here, is that we don't run out. That's the overflowing love of Jesus in our lives. The gift that God wants to give us in Christ is a gift that we can give away and give away and give away, and in every moment when we give it away, we simply experience it more. So if we want to experience the love of God that we see in Christmas, we receive it. If we want to experience it even more, we give it away. And once we've received it, we'll also find our hearts moved to share of ourselves. Not just to share the love of God, but to share ourselves. You know, Mary had to have a lot of faith and obedience to do what God asked her to do. But I also don't want us to forget how challenging this must have been for Joseph, for her fiancé. Matthew 1, 18 and 19. Says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. Can you imagine trying to believe what you've just been told in a circumstance like this? Can you imagine the emotions and the gut reaction that you want to have? But we read here that Joseph, being a righteous man, he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So going off of the information he had in the moment, he took the hurt, he took the instant reactions, and he set those aside. And he's like, I'm going to try to do this in the way that is as kind to her as I possibly could. He could have said and done really hurtful things in that moment. And he might have been able to say, you know what, it's my right to do that. I have a right to be upset here. But he was the kind of man who still thought about her and had a care for her even when he was hurting. That kind of relational, loving care is rare, but it's one of the gifts that comes when we are pursuing God, when we're experiencing the kind of love that God gives us. And I love how God honors this by giving him the rest of the story and the chance to be a part of that story. Going forward just a little bit, it says, but after he'd considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is special in the story because he's just a living example of what God was doing in Christmas, isn't he? He's a living example of someone who was probably experiencing some hurt, but set it aside to love anyway. And that's exactly what Christmas is. Think about the story. In coming to this world, God was prioritizing a relationship with a humanity that had done nothing but rebel against him and hurt him. And God went, but I want a relationship with you anyway. And Joseph was just mirroring that same heart for Mary that God had for us. He prioritized the relationships in his life, even when it hurt him. It's a great gift of love to share yourself, to be willing to be vulnerable, to not take the hurt and cause it to close us off, but to make it, for it to be something that opens us up. So we open the gift, we share it, we share ourselves, and always a very important thing to do, to follow up after we receive a gift. See, let me try asking the kids first. What do you do after you get a gift? I think I heard it. Say it louder. You say thank you. There we go. Moms, aren't you proud? That's right. You say thank you for that gift, don't you? That is the right thing to do. You know, Matthew 2 tells us about a group of wise men from a far-off country who studying prophecy and signs and history, they believed that something special was about to happen, that there was a unique gift of a king for all humanity that had been born in Israel. You know, Matthew 2, 1 and 2 reads this way. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. We have come to worship him. They recognized, it's funny that, like, as far as we know, they don't have any biblical knowledge. Something in the universe spoke clearly enough to say, hey, you need to know that there has been a king born in Israel that is for you. And they responded to that by traveling so that way they could worship. It's funny, I think, like, if I go back and just into my own nature, like, I'd be curious and want to make the trip, but it would be so I could learn. I think that's my kind of bend, is I'd want to understand and learn. Like, I need to find out more about this king. I need to learn some more. But they came simply so they could worship. And that is a right response to the gift we've been given. You know, we were lost in sin, and God acted as our true love, as no one else ever has, ever will, or ever could. He came, he lived among us, and he gave his life for us. What can we do but worship? What can we do but thank him? What can we do but give our lives to him the way he first gave his to us? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. And I want to close with some questions for you to take with you into your Christmas celebrations, even before you come back tonight for the Christmas Eve service. You know, one, just let me ask, have you received this great love? Have you unwrapped the gift of the partridge in a pear tree? Have you received that gift of love and grace, the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you? Then I'd encourage you to just ask yourself, who in your life needs to experience that same love? And maybe before they hear about Jesus from you, they need to experience Jesus in you. They need to see the difference that Jesus has made in you as you love them unconditionally, the way that Joseph loved Mary. And finally, an encouragement to just take some time out today in the midst of family and gifts and food and a Christmas Eve service and everything else. Take some time out just to worship. I'm not talking about necessarily, like, you don't need to, like, get somebody on a guitar. It doesn't have to be that complicated, but just stop in the quiet and simply give praise. Say thank you to God for what he's done. Thank you for this gift of a baby in a manger. I'm going to close just with one final verse here. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, which was read earlier today as well. It says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Won't listen to that song quite the same way ever again. Will you stand with me as we pray and worship this morning? Father, we thank you for your love for us this morning. We thank you for your goodness and kindness in our life. We thank you that, like Joseph, you've loved us even when we were unlovable. God, that you've given us this gift, that all we need to do is receive it. We just need to accept what you have already offered to us, what you come to give to us simply because you love us, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, God, but because you've chosen to give it. So, Father, may we receive that from you this morning. May we walk through this last bit of the Christmas season. May we turn the corner into this next year as those who know we are loved by you. God, help us as we finish up just what's, I'm sure, going to be a busy day and a busy tomorrow by loving one another well. Lord, that we would reflect better today than we did yesterday your great love for us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.